11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp up in St. Joe. We've got JT producing the show back in the studio. He's filling in for Drew all week long. We appreciate you, JT. Drew back on Monday. Coming up here in about 15 to 20 minutes, we believe practice will wrap up. That means we'll have Noah Gray join us exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll also hear from Andy Reid along with Josh Simmons. So that's coming up here as we continue broadcasting live. Thanks to Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you.
Is it time? Do we have to eliminate someone?
We didn't do it on Tuesday. Let's go to the island.
Nine players arrive in St. Joe for Camp Island. Only one can take home the final prize. Who will be the 2025 Chiefs Camp Darling?
We drafted back on day one of camp candidates for Camp Darling Island after years of fans falling in love with someone at camp, right? It's a camp tradition. Maybe it was Justin Ross. Maybe it was LRZ. You pick it. There have been names for years that people have said just were never given enough of a chance once they made the roster.
It's
so
true.
We selected three each. We've eliminated three players from Camp Island. There's a chance you get voted back on the island. You can return if you have a big preseason game. But here's who's left. Rashard Smith, Elijah Mitchell, Tyquan Thornton, Omar Norman Lott, Jalen Royals, Noel Williams. That means Jared Wiley, Jake Brenningstuhl, and Jaquarius Spivey have been eliminated. We decided not to eliminate on Tuesday because we want to also give a chance for these guys to show something next Saturday.
Preseason game, get back on the island.
But today, someone has to go. Someone has to go. It's another padded practice. We've had three tight ends eliminated. There's no other tight ends left to eliminate at this point in time.
I was hoping the fate would change. But I think you'd agree with me if I told you that the two people in the running to be eliminated on Camp Island, which we can get your opinions over at 913-586-7965, are Elijah Mitchell and Noel Williams. Elijah Mitchell is firmly running back two. He looks good in pass protection, but he's not making the flashy play, which means he's not showing up on the darling radar, you know?
You think he's firmly number two?
I think so far he's taken more number two running back snaps than anyone else, and because people have... You know, I heard one coach say that he looks good in pass protection. I know that that is favored in there. But also, like, that's like the good guys finish last problem for me. You can't just be some run-of-the-mill, I-do-my-job running back and be a camp darling. That's not how it works. Meanwhile, the rookie, Noel Williams, really hasn't made any splash yet either.
He hasn't.
Despite the fact there's been a second cornerback injury, Christian Fulton is out there, and you're like, well, I mean, no Christian Fulton. That should be the rookie's time to shine, and instead, it's been more Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and Nazi Johnson like always. So I think it's one of those two. Do you think there's anybody else that we should be including in this conversation right now? We can't even discuss Tyquan Thornton.
No,
Tyquan Thornton. Can't even discuss Royals or Norman Lott right now.
Yeah, Tyquan Thornton, Royals, and Omar Norman Lott. Specifically, Norman Lott.
Decisions are going to get tough soon.
Yeah, and next week I think we're only going to have one elimination. That way we have some guys heading into a preseason game. That's a big preseason game for Camp Darling Island. I'm kind of with you on the two. I think the veteran player, you expect more right away, but I have a sense that we're going to see Elijah Mitchell in that preseason game next Saturday, and we're going to say, wow, okay. He's going to have a lot of opportunity. Same with Rashard Smith, so I don't want to eliminate either of those guys. Now, next week, we might end up being stuck in the same conversation. I'll let him survive one more day. I'm gonna give you another player on my roster.
You're going to sacrifice
Noel Williams, even though I still believe in him, but for the sake of this conversation, I think he has to be eliminated from Camp Darling Island. But just remember, next Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm probably coming for Elijah Mitchell.
That's fair. Look, I can't. What can I do? Argue right now? I'm going to need Elijah Mitchell. He's going to need the – you know what we haven't gotten yet? I need an immunity idol so bad. I need Elijah Mitchell catching one damn deep pass on a game a day before we're getting ready to eliminate someone.
What about a Noel Williams interception?
Yeah,
something.
But today I just looked. Nothing. There's a whole thing on Josh Simmons, who couldn't be a camp darling, because we all agree you know a camp darling when you see one.
That's right.
So for today.
No first round pick, darling.
Noel Williams. He's kicked off the island.
All right. That hurts. That one hurts. I'm hoping he gets back on the island in a week or so.
She's still got a wide receiver, you know? Plus, this is about crowning the real darling.
That's right.
The real winner is the darling.
I mean, right now,
the person who drafted
barring him. A sudden shift, I mean, no more Omar Norman Lott or Tyquan Thornton are probably going to be the winner.
Tyquan is the favorite. look, things change. Like Aaron Judge was the heavy. You remember what kind of favorite he was on May 30th to win the
injuries
MVP?
Injuries happened too.
He was like minus 10,000 to win it. Right now, Tyquan Thornton is so obviously the front runner to be Camp Darling right now. I think if I were Drew, I'd be a little bit worried about how clear of a favorite he is. Because here's the thing. I'm coming for Tyquan. If we get to Monday, if we get from a week from Monday, and we watch a preseason game and Tyquan Thornton goes 0-for-0 with no catches and no yards and a drop, I'm getting his ass off now, and I'm trying to protect my guys.
Okay.
He no-shows in a preseason game? Man's got to show up in a preseason game.
I thought we were determining the overall Camp Darling Island. You're trying to make sure your team wins?
Well, I'm just saying.
I thought we were trying to truly determine Camp Darling
Island. I don't think he'd be a Camp Darling and go over in a preseason game, you know?
Yeah, but somebody else has to step up.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I mean, if Omar Norman Lott gets a sack in the preseason game, then I don't know how he gets beat.
That's true.
That's the horn behind
Drew
this.
Drew is definitely the favorite.
That means practice is wrapping up. They're going to do some stretching. That means we'll have Noah Gray. My guess is within about 10 minutes. 10 minutes or less. Noah Gray will be joining us here on 96.5 The Fan.
Okay.
Someone wants me to ask Noah Gray about pickleball.
Okay.
Okay. He's a big pickleball guy?
Someone's saying, is he better or worse than Garrick Dieter?
You going to pronounce his name right? The last time we talked to someone about pickleball.
Terrell?
Terrell Owens.
Or Terrell. Terrell or Terrell?
It's not pronounced different, right? It's Noah?
It's just Noah Gray. That's an easy one. That's an easy one, fellas. Fellas.
Sure. I think we can handle that. Let's talk a little bit more as we wait for Noah Gray. It could be another 10, 15 minutes before he shows up.
Yep.
We know how the end of practice goes, so it could be a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about all the trades the Royals made yesterday, because I do want to talk about one specific player as it relates to it. We know the guys they added. We talked about at the beginning of the show what they added to it and how they helped all this stuff, and we will talk more about that trade coming up in the noon hour as well. But Carter Jensen, what do you do here? They have two catchers on the roster. Someone early on the text line tried to say, MJ could catch in a pinch. I mean, both people went down with injury in the same game, sure, MJ could throw
emergency,
on some gear.
Emergency catcher.
But, like, they're not throwing MJ back behind the dish. He is not a part of their plan. They only have two catchers on the entire 40-man. That's not how teams operate. That is very rarely how teams operate. And, look, I will have no trouble getting Carter Jensen on the 40. That's not even the discussion. The question is, and I do think this is going to be a consideration, considering the fact that he is not seemingly learning anything from AAA, the same thing as Jack Caglione, and that he's not being challenged at that level anymore, but that it didn't go well for Jack Caglione in the bigs in his first 40 games. Not saying it can't. I'm still a very big believer in Jack Caglione overall. Do you rush him to the big leagues this year, or do you just ride out the final 50 games and say, hey, day one of spring training, you're catcher too?
Yeah,
we're going to find another position for you in case, because how do you get him enough regular at-bats if at any point he came up this year? How many games does Freddie Fermin play this year? I guess that'd be the question.
Yeah, so the only way I'm calling up Carter Jensen in 2025 is if Salvador Perez goes on the IL. That's it. That's the only scenario.
So you're keeping him down outside of that.
Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense to me, because you're not going to call somebody up that's not going to play. Now, if you tell me the AAA season is over and rosters expand and there's also maybe
another guy,
something like that, that's a different conversation. But as of right this second, it would take Salvador Perez going on the IL before I would consider calling up Carter Jensen. And then, when spring training is going on in February and March of next year, I can promise you Carter Jensen will be one of the biggest stories of spring training.
When you look at it right now, the Royals' record is, 54-55? So they've played 109 games. So let me do the math here so I can tell you exactly what percentage. Right now, Freddie Fermin has been playing 61% of the games, roughly. So let's just say of the 51, the 50-ish games remaining, what you're talking about is in the 50 games, Carter Jensen would get 33. That not enough? That might be enough. He doesn't have to play every day. And I go back to the same thing. I'd actually prefer Salvador Perez to have more days off anyway. Like, they toss him over to first on those, or toss him over to DH because of the extra ability they have in the outfield. Vinny, Michael, Bobby, Salvi, those guys, you need hitting at some point. I'd entertain it, but, man, I would approach cautiously. And I think the problem with calling up Carter Jensen is, are you going to have Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione in the middle of a lineup that is still vying for a playoff spot? You're going to have one rookie who's come up, another rookie who's come up with all these random vets. Are they going to play over Grichuk? Are they going to play over these other, and I'm not even saying just from like the way the rotation.
If it's September 1 and all of a sudden they're 9 games out of a playoff spot,
well then yeah, get Carter Jensen 30 games
because things fall apart or something, and I don't think that'll happen. But if it got that ugly, well then yeah, there's no reason not to. Otherwise, as I said, I think it would take Salvador Perez ending up on the IL, which nobody wants to see, and it'd be devastating for the team. That's the only way I think it makes sense to call up Carter Jensen.
Yeah, I just like. The temptation is great. I guess some of this is, I think fans are more reticent.
Well, because of what happens. Because
of Cags.
Each one's, every person's their own scenario. You cannot now.
Never call up a player early?
You cannot now change how you evaluate Carter Jensen because Jack Caglione got called up and has struggled. I just don't believe that that's a smart way to operate.
It's also like his story isn't told yet. Like, I don't like that we just pretend like Cags is 40 games into his career, we can just already assume what he is. I don't have any idea what he is. And I pointed this out because this is a difference of sample size that is so small, it shouldn't matter to you. Nick Kurtz stunk for 25 games. Almost 30 games. He was
hitting .202 for 25 games.
Yeah, with no power. He wasn't getting on base.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah. And then
he also ended up on the IL, by the way. Nick Kurtz did.
Then he got hurt. So, like, for the first 2 months, for the first month and a half he was in baseball, he was nothing. Nothing. Now he's going to win Rookie of the Year. So, like, pretending like Jack Caglione, let's just say he came up in 10 days. Pretending like Jack Caglione can't come up in 10 days and rake is wrong. I'm not saying he will, but he definitely can, Gold. And so pretending like that's not something that can occur is it's just crazy. And so if, like, here's the truth. You have put, this is where I was with Cags, and this is why I'm with, you can call up Carter Jensen. If you're going to re-sign Seth Lugo, trade for three pitchers, trade away Freddie Fermin, bring in another veteran out. You're trying to win. And if you're trying to win, and you're telling me Carter Jensen makes you better, call him up. Because he is a better hitter than Luke Maley. I can't tell you what kind of defensive catcher he is. The scouts say he's very good. I would warn that they said that a lot about MJ Melendez, a player that they do not let catch now. So, you know, like, does that mean it's everything? Maybe not. But by all accounts, he's a good defensive catcher. He can handle a pitching staff, and he can rake. So if he makes you better and you're trying to make the playoffs this year, I don't know why he's not part of the team.
But you would also agree that, barring a sudden shift, Carter Jensen's not getting called up, though. Like, as in the next week or so.
I think it would take Luke Maley looking bad. And even then, people don't care when it comes to backup catchers.
But he's only going to play once a week or twice a week, though. Anyway.
Are they really going to? Is it going to be
right?
That?
Don't you think so?
That's not how infrequently Freddie Fermin was playing. They're going to wear Salvi out worse. Then I want Carter Jensen even more.
But you think Luke Maley's going to play just as much as Freddie Fermin?
I kind of think he will play like 60% of the games.
Okay.
I think he'll be back there behind the dish more than, you know, like three times a week.
I know we had a nice
game. That's pretty much the number, three times a week.
He had a nice game last Sunday, but okay.
Look, I could be wrong, but in talking to I was talking to somebody in the organization the other day about him, and I mean – Luke Maley is the exact type of catcher like that pretty much exists on everybody's
most
roster.
Teams have that as their most backup.
Most teams started Luke Maley three, four games a week. Like, I don't know. I mean, just kind of is what it is. We have been spoiled by Salvador Perez, I'll say. The Freddie Fermin trade was a stark reminder for me. I'm like, man, that's the value for Freddie Fermin? Well, then what would someone give up for Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen in an offseason? I mean, my goodness. If they'll give that up for Freddie Fermin, teams are desperate for catching. I looked up the Padres catching. I'm like, is it that bad? Yeah, pretty bad. They were starting Martin Maldonado. Dude.
Yeah, and Freddie's going to start for them maybe for a year or two because they do have one of the top catching prospects in baseball, Ethan Salas, but he's a couple years away. That's why they're basically going to have Freddie Fermin be their bridge catcher there in San Diego in a playoff push this year.
Yeah, honestly, I am really happy for Freddie. He deserves a chance to start. He would start for most teams in baseball. He doesn't start here because the Royals have potentially a future Hall of Famer catcher. And he's 30 years old, and he's worked his ass off. I am happy for Freddie. I'm sad he has to leave the team. Happy that he gets an opportunity to, like, showcase himself on a day-to-day basis where he's going to play more games. But if, I don't know, Freddie Fermin was playing 65%, I kind of assume Luke Maley will play 55-60%. I figure he'll start three games a week.
We'll see how they play it out.
Three games a week, I'd rather that be Carter Jensen, that's all.
All right, so practice is just wrapped up. We should be joined by Noah Gray in just a couple of minutes. We also are going to hear from Andy Reid. While we're waiting for that to take place, you said earlier in the show you did not watch any of the Hall of Fame game last night. I'm disappointed you didn't do that.
Why?
Yesterday you were very concerned and upset that Brent Musburger was going
to
be part of the broadcast and interview.
Ooh.
Maria Taylor interviewed him before.
How'd it go?
Fine. They had him tossed to break, too.
Wow.
It was He didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss a beat. He also snuck in a little gambling line at the end, too.
Oh, did he?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean.
Oh, yeah, we have the audio. Perfect. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but coming up, the Hall of Fame game. It's two contenders. It's the Lions. It's the Chargers. Let's look at their youngsters. Fill out the roster. You're going to have a great game tonight. Oh, by the way, the Lions are favored by a point.
Did he call them the Lions the first time?
The Lions.
They didn't sound like the Lions the first time. Can I hear that one more time?
Did you miss, Brent Musburger calling college football games? That's exactly how he said
it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but coming up, it's the Hall of Fame game. It's two contenders. It's the Lions. It's the Chargers.
That's not Lions.
No, he said Lions. He said, what are you talking about?
He said Lions.
You're a hater. That's
I'm
what
not
you're
a hater. Doesn't
here, isolate the Lions. He says Lions. The Lions. That's what he said.
Lions.
Yeah, he has it with a little, he's got a little accent with it. That's how he calls games. He's a legend. You're hating on a Hall of Famer now, too.
Cody and hating random people, an iconic duo.
Yeah, man. I thought Musburger's. He didn't throw in a looking live. That was the only thing missing.
You know what that is? That would be classic end.
All right, let's go to the podium and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Get him taken care of. Let's see who else I can tell you about. Xavier Worthy. So Xavier's ended up not being a concussion. We had both the NFL involved with the clearing and our docs, and he's got a little liquid. He had a little liquid in his ear, and they took care of that, and it was throwing his equilibrium off just a bit. So that's a positive thing. But other than that, the guys have worked hard, done a nice job. Today they caught a break with the weather, nice and cool for them, and they're flying around. And it was good to see both sides of the ball making plays, great competition going on. When you do that, you're going to start improving, man. That's the objective in this thing, get better, a little bit better every day. So with that, time's yours.
You sense a better energy when the temperatures are like this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys are, you're more lively. there is. I mean, yeah, you know how it goes. I mean, when it's hot, you're pushing through. That's a tough thing, but. Being out there a couple, 2.5 hours or so, and the sun and heat, and it can be a little rough. Practice is rough anyways. Now that you add the heat into it, and it's even tougher. Yeah.
Andy, I know you love describing yourself as a teacher. Just what are you trying to teach Kingsley day after day, just knowing that he's going up against Chris, obviously, one of the best defensive tackles in the league?
Yeah, that's going to make you great. Right, so every day you can get better, and he's doing that. He's battling. They talk. He and Chris talk. Chris got a ton of respect for him. He knows how good he is, and so they work it. And then they were going back and forth today. You know, he had some good ones. Chris had some good. Well, they're getting better. That makes each other better. Competition.
Coach, you got guys rotating on the offensive line. What does that do for you when you can see guys playing different positions?
Yeah, it gives you flexibility. So if somebody gets hurt, you plug a guy in. You only congest so many on game day. So you want to make sure you got some guys that can kind of move around a little bit, whether it's a guard playing center, center playing guard, tackle playing guard. If you're lucky enough, you might get one that plays all three. So all three spots.
Going back to Kingsley, when he has the rookie year he did, when he has to get pulled off, I just wonder how much of trying to rebuild his confidence, or do you feel like he was already there?
Yeah, he's been on a mission since he got back. I mean, he's been pretty focused in on that. I think he likes that spot, and he's sure taken to it well. And he's willing to work. That's never been his issue, man. He comes out and he works his tail off. So I've been we've been happy with what we see. We've got to keep going, but powerful kid.
What have you learned so far about Josh Simmons now we've gotten to this portion of the offseason?
Yeah, first of all, he's getting a lot of reps, which I think is important for a rookie. So he's been in there and consistently showing up every day and working and not taking plays off or any of that. But he's a worker. I mean, he's willing to do it. It's just a matter of keep on going. But he's done a nice job with what we've asked him. He's working on all the fundamentals and techniques. So that's a challenge for him.
All right, so that was Chiefs head coach Andy Reid speaking live after a beautiful day here in St. Joe. And, of course, our player interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com as we're joined by Chiefs tight end Noah Gray. Andy was just talking in the beginning. You guys probably enjoy a day like this a lot better than maybe a few days ago, weather-wise and everything.
Oh, yeah, we're running today. It feels so much better than when it was 100 degrees out here. But, yeah, weather was great. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it felt good. It was good to see the guys come out here compete, especially when the weather is this good. You know, get that, you know, good boost of energy out here. Guys are making plays, and it's a lot of fun to compete out here.
Football, you know, is training camp's a sign that, you know, it's officially back and everything. And even last night, the Hall of Fame game is on, even though it's an early preseason game. Do you guys as a team, or you guys even watch that game last night just to feel football again as well?
Man, I was hanging out with my family.
There you go. Yeah,
I got a lot of football as it is up here in St. Joe. So I was just hanging out with my family, enjoying the time, and, you know, I heard it was a good game, and glad football's back and rolling.
We need the firsthand account from you. By all accounts, Travis Kelce is in incredible shape. What do you think? Well, you know, what's the behind the scenes? Does Travis looks more svelte, as Andy put it?
Yeah, I mean, Kelce's doing a great job. He's coming out here. He's working with all the guys out here. He's just a leader. He's a guy that comes to work. He's a guy that you want to follow. You want to, you know, watch, you know, everything that he's doing work-wise when he's in the film room. So the guy is just an example of what to do right out here on a football field, you know, and I think all the guys, when they look at that, they see a leader in that, and we just try to, you know, take after his example.
So last year when you signed the extension, there's always the temptation, right? Like, well, I can wait it out, and then I can try to become the starting tight end of my own and make what was the appeal behind being here in Kansas City? You've seen your numbers improve every year. You've seen your play time increase every year. What was the, you know, when you go back a year ago, what was appealing the most about staying in Kansas City?
You know, honestly, I try not to look back at it too much. You know, I just love this team. I love the coaches. I love the players. I love the organization. I love the fans. And that's it. And we're moving forward, you know, with that. You know, out here, just seeing all these people who come out and support us every single day, you know, it's not easy. You know, they really just devote their time, their effort, you know, their money, their resources to be out here with us. And it means the absolute world to myself and my teammates. So just really a shout out to the people out here, people that show up at Arrowhead, everyone that just supports us from all over the world. You know, we're going to Brazil this year, and it's going to be such a fun game. There's going to be such a great crowd there, you know, and it's just like the guys out here, you know, I know they all appreciate that, and it's just so much fun coming out to work with these guys. I just love working here in Kansas City. I love everything about it, and it's just been an absolute pleasure, and, you know, the guys are having a great camp, and we're looking forward to continue pushing on.
Have you been anywhere? Have you been to Brazil before?
I have not. No, okay. I've only been to Mexico and Germany outside of the country.
Oh, really? I was going to ask you your favorite place you've traveled to, but it sounds like just the Chiefs is when you're traveling internationally.
Yeah, I was in Mexico for school in college. I was there for a week. I was in Cholula, Puebla. It was so much fun. You know, I got to spend a week down at a school down there called UDLAP. Got to spend some good time. Had some teammates in college that went down there, and we got immersed in the culture, did some community service, hung out with some people at the school. I played basketball with the basketball team there, so that was a lot of fun. I got my butt kicked. The elevation there is crazy.
You're just catching your breath.
It's so much different, obviously, than here. You know, I think it's even higher than Denver is. So when I was out playing soccer with the guys, or like I was playing basketball, it was just like the whole week I was just dying. You know, it was just hard to. It was so much different. I thought I was in shape, and it puts it in perspective when you get in that elevation.
You talk about playing basketball. We had someone text in that said we got to ask you about pickleball. Someone specifically said Garrick Dieter's better than you at pickleball. Is that true, or is that just it was Garrick texting in? I don't know.
That's probably Garrick. But yeah, I mean, he's a good pickleball player. We enjoy our time in the off season together. I actually trained with him this off season football wise too. He's a great dude and appreciate him. But, yeah, pickleball is a good little sport. If you guys are ever interested, anyone's ever interested, you know, get out there, get some exercise. It's good camaraderie. So, yeah, you guys have some fun with that.
Yeah, we had T.O. on the show a couple days ago. He's coming in town for PickleCon, I guess. It's a big pickleball convention in Kansas City. And now he's taking it seriously. Like, we were trying to talk football, and he kept going right back to pickleball. So it seems like a lot of former NFL players and athletes are wanting to get into pickleball more, too.
Yeah, it's a great sport. And the court's a lot smaller than tennis. And, you know, there's a lot of little intricate details about pickleball that I never thought of. I thought I could just out-athlete people, and it's just not the case. So it's a great sport. It's a great time to meet so many different people. I play a lot when I'm in Florida. You know, it's a big pickleball, capital down there in Naples, Florida. So it's been phenomenal. I got pickleball people in Georgia, Kansas City. It's growing a lot, so it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy my time when I get out to do that.
Is that your main off-season hobby? What else do you do in your free time? You said you got kids. Are your kids young?
Yeah, hanging out with family, fishing, hanging out with friends. It's kind of fun. We're kind of in that stage where all of our friends are having weddings and stuff like that, so that's been a lot of fun to see all my friends get married and married to the love of their lives and, start the rest of their lives with them. So there's a lot going on, man. I got a little girl. My wife is just phenomenal as, taking care of her, helping me out. A shout out to them. It's just, I wouldn't be able to do what I do out here on the football field if it weren't for my wife, really managing everything and taking care of me, taking care of my daughter, and just a huge blessing. So shout out to you, Mary.
We're talking to Noah Gray here. How much does it help you? You mentioned yesterday you guys were an off day and you got to spend time with the family. Camp's a grind, I don't have to tell you that. And Andy Reid's camp's maybe the toughest camp of anybody in football these days. But then you have the ability to then hang out with your family. How much does that help you kind of get through these days as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a grind. And the guys, when it comes this time of year, we're focused on football, and it's a huge shout out to our wives and everyone back home who's holding it down, who's supporting us, who's doing everything they can to support us. It's not easy on them either, but it's great being around these guys, our coaches motivating us, and, guys are locked in. We know what the stake is. This is our job. This is our livelihood. And we come out here and we work hard. Our coaches do a great job motivating us. They're great scheme-wise. Just from top to bottom, everything about this experience is phenomenal, and it's just really a credit to the organization for making this go as awesome as it does, and it gets us better for the season. So it's really a collective group effort between our coaches, the organization, our teammates coming out here and working, and our wives back home who are really holding it down.
We know that they did the screening for Happy Gilmore, too, and a lot of the players were there. Who else do you think could act on the team? Do you think anyone else is capable of it besides Travis? Do you want to get in the game?
I'm a terrible actor. I would be a very bad actor, but I think there's a lot of guys on the team that could. I think Trey did a little cameo for that.
Hallmark movie.
And that, he did a good job in that. I think Creed does a good one. I saw him on SNL one time, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, there's a whole lot of guys. I think Gardner Minshew would be great, too. He'd be, like, perfect for it, too. But,
what's he been like at camp? He just seems like a good time to have around, I guess.
He's a great guy. Great guy, great teammate, great football player. Guy just works. He's just another leader, like I was talking about earlier with Kels. Like, he comes to work. He prepares well. And it's a guy that you just want to take after.
The tight end room, who's maybe the jokester there other than maybe Travis?
Bobby.
At times?
Robert Tonyan.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's a good dude, man. He's a great personality. He's a great addition in the room. We got a lot of great personalities in the room. Trey is another great dude, and all of those guys, Jake and Spivey and, all those guys. It's just phenomenal. Wiley, we have a great tight end room. It's so much fun coming to work with those guys. They keep it lively, especially when we're away from our families here.
Talking a little bit about the offensive line, obviously Simmons has been one of the big stories of camp. You got to line up right next to him sometimes. How's he look from your perspective?
He's phenomenal. Yeah, the guy, he's another dude that, he puts his head down. He works, I know it's his first year in the league, but, physically he's doing a great job. Mentally he's learning the playbook. He's doing everything that he can to be the best possible football player that he can. And it's encouraging to see. It's encouraging to see a young guy that comes in that takes pride in his work like that. It makes me as a fifth-year guy just, really want to push myself even harder, because if that guy can come in and do it in his first year in St. Joe, we can all do it, And it's just that mentality that I think he's come in with, tenacity. Guy's just a really good football player, and I'm excited to continue to see him grow.
Noah Gray, Chiefs tight end. We appreciate you coming on the show,
thank
man.
Thank you, guys.
Good
appreciate
to talk
you guys.
To you. Best
you
of luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Y'all.
Our training camp interviews brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. Your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro. And by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com.
We can talk about more what he has to say. Obviously, we got to get to a break in just a minute, but, work ethic alone is always a good sign for an offensive tackle, but yeah. I high praise, I feel like, for Simmons.
Yeah, we'll talk more about what he had to say about Simmons. We're also expecting to hear from Josh Simmons. That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. I'm sitting down on a deck this weekend.
Tonight's in this
Without
weekend.
Without question, I'm sitting outside this weekend.
After the weather we've had in the air, yeah, this is a beautiful weekend. They go outside and do some things if you've got a deck or if there. I know there's a couple events going on, depending on where in town you're at this weekend. It's a, you luck out with that. It's actually a shame the Royals are out of town and not home this weekend.
I know.
Because it's a beautiful weekend.
You went to two absolutely scorchers
yeah.
at the K last week, too.
Yeah, or this week or whatever. Yeah, it was a little warm, but it's going to be nice. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, is getting ready to sit down with us. Again, thanks to Noah Gray for joining us. If you missed that interview, we'll have play some of that back around 1:30. We also will let you hear from Josh Simmons coming up in the noon hour. He spoke. He, of course, has been, as we said, one of the great stories of camp, just the fact that we're not really worried about the health in anymore. It's now just picking up the communication and being ready to go. Nate Taylor, what's up, man?
We were
just saying that this is a great day for camp. We love it.
Yeah, I talked to a fan, Justin from Wichita, brought his wife, brought his kids. It was his first time here for Chiefs camp and never come back, sir. It'll never be this good. Get the photos of the kids with the players now and don't do this again. Because today is, I mean.
The 12 years I've done this may be the nicest day.
Picturesque. It's perfect.
Polar opposite. We had someone that came by earlier today and told us on Tuesday it was the hottest camp day they've had in St. Joe history since they've had the camp.
Oh, my God. I wish I knew that.
120 on the field.
Yeah.
I wish I knew that. I knew about the 120, but, yeah, to put it in that context from a historical standpoint, because, again, ever since Andy Reid's, you know, been the head coach, obviously they've been here, and as long as he will be the head coach, they'll be here. So that is saying quite a lot. And, you know, we just had Nico Remigio in the media tent for the press conference, and he was talking about, you know, how much exhausting you are, he said because your skin is so hot, and you're sweating through everything, that your skin actually hurts. That it's so sticky that you can't even. Oh. I was like, he's like, yeah, you got to go to a dark place. I was like, a dark place? Like,
he's taking
he gave
you to a
by
dark
way,
place.
He gave
yes.
you some great stuff. I feel like that's just like a great column leading off with a description of the heat. My goodness.
I have to go to a dark place.
A dark place. I'm like, well, he has to think about this guy. He has to do kickoff. Kickoff return.
Yeah, he get no break.
Punt return. Hey, man. You know, because I asked him, I was like, hey, it's unfortunate, but, like, this is why you're here, right? Hollywood Brown has the injury. You know, Xavier Worthy missed some time. Again, it's the hottest day in the history of camp at St. Joseph. How many reps, dude? How many? Your body can't be prepared for this. And his answer in short was no. And my body hurts when I'm just standing
when
in
I exist
heat. Yeah
because of his importance to the team, Nico Remigio, we know Tobe loves him and all that other stuff, and because Tyquan's had a good camp,
he has.
Sky Moore's days are done.
Okay,
come on.
Okay.
He's not even on the field right now. He's done.
So think about this. He had a core injury last season. The year before that he had a knee injury, and now he's dealing with the hamstring.
I guess they just want to stash him on pup they can, but, like, what's the point?
He's a great hang. That's the point. He's a great hang. He's a great locker room guy. You know, I thought that they would go into this trying to feature him in the preseason to see if maybe you could get something.
Yeah, seventh, whatever.
Yeah, or to just do right by the player and say, hey, you're
give him an opportunity.
Yeah, you're a former second-round pick. It's not going to work out here likely, but, like, you got legitimate tape in our Lord's 2025 year, and you can be somebody's fourth, fifth, sixth receiver on a less competitive, less stacked roster. But you got to be on the field, man. So Nico Remigio can do the things Sky Moore can do, and he can do the things that Sky Moore has not proven to do better.
Yeah.
And you have Tyquan Thornton, and you have Jalen Royals. It's just I think the receivers are set at seven, and it's just a matter of what young player do you want to see on the practice squad that you can continue to develop over the course of the year, whether that's Badger, whether that's somebody else, Brownlee. But, yeah, I think for Sky Moore, as much as I hate saying it, I don't see a path right now.
You know, we've been doing the Camp Darling Island, and so we've been trying to keep you guys on. Today,
another elimination.
We had to eliminate somebody. It's tough because we need the preseason game to happen, but today we eliminated Noel Williams just because he hasn't – not long-term.
No,
just for
no
camp.
Buzz.
There's nothing happening at camp. Right now I feel like even with the Fulton injury, he hasn't been getting – many
that
reps
is,
with the ones. Feels like it was an opportunity.
Yes.
If he really would have caught on quick,
that
he could have got a lot of playing time early. And right now, this does not mean that he can't end up being a very good player.
Sky one said it was fast for him.
True. That
so
is
he
true.
Got eliminated today.
Yeah, and that's understandable. not many highlights. You know, they've put a lot on Nazi Johnson. Nazi Johnson is basically, like, I guess the next man up if Christian Fulton isn't available or if he has an injury.
Spags loves Nazi Johnson.
And hates Josh Williams.
Yes.
Like,
weird. That's been established for years now. He does anything to get Nazi Johnson in the game and anything to get Josh Williams out of the game.
Josh Williams is running with the threes today, guys. Ooh. Why? Well, you're wasting his time. Why? Which, again, maybe you'd want to feature Joshua Williams in the preseason if you want to try to, you know, divvy up something.
But he started games in NFL corner.
Yes, he was
got plenty
serviceable.
Yeah.
Nazi Johnson is the one that they've put the most effort and feeling into. Did I just grab that? Wow, nice.
Yeah.
I think that was a wasp. I almost caught it. He was tickling my
That'd
ankle.
That'd
have
been bad.
Maybe. Maybe for the wasp.
Nature squeezing his
head. Yeah. I have been known to catch a fly or two with my bare hands just by good hand-eye coordination. Look. I guess No Williams is like your fifth corner. Where is Christian Nolan Wallace and all of this? Shamari Connor, don't ever
forget about CRW.
Yeah. I mean, he could be a practice squad candidate, too, in case of emergency kind of breakout. I still think Shamari Connor's best as a safety. Now, what was fascinating today is even without Christian Fulton, we saw Trent McDuffie back in the nickel.
Okay.
So they were having these mixed sort of rotations of, hey, Jalen Watts is on the outside, obviously. Trent McDuffie's in the nickel. Hey, there's Nazi Johnson. Or, hey, there's maybe No Williams. Or, hey, there's Chris Roland Wallace on the outside. And you would think that spot is reserved for Christian Fulton. When he returns, could be, I guess, if I were him, I don't know how. I mean, again, it's not a serious thing. But
I'd wait another week. Can't be over. Wait, a week and a half.
Let's look at the forecast, and I'll tell you when Christian Fulton will return to practice.
My ass be waiting 10 days.
You're like, get to that first preseason game, and then call me. Yeah,
I'll be available right after. Right when you guys get back to Kansas City, I'm available.
Coach is like, hey, we would really love to see you with the rest of the guys. Hey, coach, I know, but this knee is just, you never know what day, what it's going to do from the next day. What's the forecast, boys?
Let's see. Daily.
We got next. Are we in the 70s anymore?
70s through the whole weekend.
I don't think so, Nate.
Mid-80. 81 on Monday. 87 Tuesday. 86 Wednesday. That's okay to come back.
That's okay.
That's livable.
You can do it.
I thought it was going to be bad.
Nate Taylor from ESPN.
We'll ease you in. Ease me in, coach.
So what else, though, in terms – we were joking about the Camp Darling thing. Who else, I should say, has stood out to you? We've all talked about, I think, the key storylines at this point in time of camp. But has there been anybody you feel like is not being talked about, whether it's by us or anybody, like, hey, this is somebody to watch, or this is something that is either concerning or just – Has it been pretty – you know what? This is a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. There's other than what we already saw with Simmons, there's not a ton of questions to be answered.
If you have the heart, the desire, the want to come out here in St. Joseph, or if you just want to observe every clip available on Twitter, I think my answer would be Kingsley Suamataia. Because there were reps today where he was challenged by God himself in Chris Jones, and it did not go well. And there are some reps where you're like – okay, I can see that he has the improved strength from a year ago. He does have the ability to hold up a little bit longer at guard than he would at tackle when there's a lot more space. We've already predetermined that Joshua Simmons is a Hall of Famer. Just put it in ink, guys.
Yeah, it's
measure this man now.
Too late on that. I said today, hey, can we should probably like put the brakes on a little bit. It's too late.
Too late. No, that train been gone. So I would say of players who are actually important that are actually going to play significant snaps, again, I think the team is given every opportunity for Kingsley to get comfortable, to get the full transition from tackle to guard. We know that Jalen Moore is sort of like, you know, a, I guess, glorified, overqualified sixth offensive lineman who's mostly just there in case Juwan Taylor.
He's like the most qualified sixth lineman, probably.
Yeah, I mean, if Juwan Taylor keeps having, you know, the niggles with the knee, okay, fine. You know, he could obviously play tackle. But I think of guys of importance right now, I would say that we don't really know that you should watch, that you should sort of have updates on, it would be Kingsley. Because he's getting really tested by Chris Jones now that we're getting into, like, the long drive periods and the, you know, hey, I've seen your moves now. Like, you want to see
what you got.
You want to see mine? There was one rep today where the rep was over. And Pat, they just said, don't hit him. Don't touch Patrick. Don't touch Patrick.
He wouldn't have gotten the ball off. It was so fast.
I know so fast.
It was over quick.
Yep.
They still let him throw the ball, even though that seems kind of useless at that point, because he definitely wasn't going to get a chance to do it.
Nope.
Like, I guess that's the thing with Kingsley. It's like, I still got hopes that he can be a serviceable guard. But, mm-hmm. like, I know Caliendo can be a serviceable guard. So, like, if things go south in a hurry.
Right.
I guess I'm not, like, overly panicked. I watch Caliendo mostly go unnoticed yes. for a handful of weeks.
In the most important stretch of the season last year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is Jalen Moore real? Like, would they really try him at guard if it went bad with Kingsley rather than Juwan? Or they just want to have him there? I always think the thing about, like, putting a tackle at guard, your backup tackle, is
right.
then if you have a problem, you've reshuffled the entire offensive line in two different ways. And
right.
it kind of sucks to, like,
yes.
take your guard now back to tackle. Now you need a different guy to play
yes.
guard, and then you just start, like, the continuity stuff throws off.
But. And the issue, too, is how much can you really practice that once we leave St. Joseph? You know, yeah. we're in the season now, man. We got to go through the game plan stuff. We got to get things really, you know, detailed, oriented, and polished for whoever the opponent is that particular week. So, it's nice to experiment now. It's nice to at least see what Jalen Moore looks like in the preseason or training camp at, you know, a guard position that he really hasn't played ever in the NFL. But, yeah, Caliendo is going unnoticed, and that's fine because he is a very capable backup player. But you've invested so much money in Jalen Moore that it makes sense why you would say, hey, due to the investment, due to the fact that, you know, we thought he was going to be our starting left tackle, we should probably – see him in our offense sooner rather than later, even if it isn't at the optimal position that he is, you know, known to have played before.
We could talk about it because I know people always get upset, like, why'd you spend the money? Like, when they signed him, they had
no left tackle. There was no guarantee.
And
that
no
they
guarantee.
Were getting, yes,
yeah, they
yes.
had no options.
What?
They had to pay him as just like a net.
Yeah,
in case.
And they also targeted him because he was younger than Dan Moore, and the Tennessee Titans gave Dan Moore how much money?
4 for $80, I think.
Oh! And he not even good!
They paid him a lot.
I'll just be honest. Dan Moore, not good. Serviceable, not good.
This
There's
also just speaks to how hard it is to find left tackles.
Thank you. Yes.
We heard from Andy say, you know, Worthy out of concussion protocol. We saw him back at practice today. Drew Tranquil tweaked his back or strained his back on the final team period. No Hollywood Brown, though, out there.
Right.
What are you hearing? Is an ankle injury? We said on Tuesday, don't worry about it if he doesn't practice on Wednesday. On Friday, let's check back in.
Yep.
What are you hearing, and when would you be concerned?
I would be concerned if he doesn't make it to Monday.
Okay.
Because Monday's the next off day. So, like, if we go through a whole practice window, technically, you know, today, Saturday, Sunday, off Monday, and then you got to get ready for a preseason game.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, it would be nice.
We said once Rasheed Rice, we knew he was about to get suspended. I would not play Hollywood Brown in a single preseason game.
But
especially
now. Take a snap in a preseason game.
But Andy's so traditional. I understand that, like, he got one preseason snap last year in a new offense.
Yeah,
so.
And I won zero this time. None.
Well, when we know for sure, most likely, I mean, today's Friday, right? I got to be on my phone this afternoon because, hey, what if Roger Goodell decides?
Today's the day.
Ian Rappaport is telling us they don't do the Friday.
Yeah, we asked him about that.
Claims.
He said no Friday 5
and
o'clock dumps
anymore.
Who does
Ian Rappaport work for?
That's true.
No,
come
National
on.
Football League.
Get out of here.
He was offended by our view as well. He sat down and he said, you guys can't see.
He said, you can't see practice.
Well, I mean, it's
I got to stand up to see it.
Yeah, I don't get to decide, you know? I try.
If I got to decide, I'd just be standing next to Andy.
Right behind the quarterback, seeing everything. God, what a
I'll get out of the way.
We just have a booth set up right there at the 50-yard line watching practice.
I don't know if I want to get the 50. Chris Jones just, like,
no, it'd be great.
Gets mad
oh
one toss
gosh.
Through
right.
and I just wiped out.
Right. The fact that you can hear everything already is great about practice. The other thing, too, is you understand that, okay, these guys are moving at a fast rate right now. It's August 1st.
Yeah, yeah,
can you imagine what they move in October? Don't ask me about January, where it's going light speed. Guys are banged up. Guys are colliding at such a rapid pace. I try to tell people all the time, man, you better get here if you love football. Come to St. Joe, because look how gigantic these human beings are, and they not even moving fast right now, because this is a practice, and this is – we talked to one of the referees. The refereeing crew was here last week, and they're like, hey, we just called this man up from the ACC, right? He got the promotion. He's learning the ropes. He's in the NFL. We came to a training camp practice in late July, and he said, holy bleep, this is not the ACC no more.
Oh.
And they're like – and in my head, I was like, so he's going to be a bad ref for half a season. He's going to be trying to catch up. Hey, bro, if it's fast now,
Woo! I did like last night Hall of Fame game. They had the digital line markers.
Yes.
Baby. Let's go.
I want the golf clap.
Yes.
I want the tennis sound. Or the Yeah. I want that. Give me a little. Give me a little drama.
First down.
give me a little drama. That's the way. This is a business. You
yes.
Give me a little juice.
Yes. Yeah, don't just sell
I also
me a
don't
video.
Want. The only tweak, too, they went full screen on it. I don't want full screen. Give me. I need the coach's box. I need the reaction. That's the only
yes.
thing. We don't get the reaction
yes.
with the digital. So I don't want full screen digital. I want the screen of the yard marker.
Yes.
And then give me Andy or Mahomes or whoever reaction.
Yes, because the beautiful thing in tennis is they do that, right? They show
yep.
you what the call is, mm-hmm. and then if it's Nick Kyrgios or Novak Djokovic
yep.
or Serena Williams at the time, they'd go, are you kidding me? Like, they couldn't hide it. And it's just like, yeah, because you're competing.
That's what you want.
And you want it to be in or you want it to be out in your favor, even though, like, the technology is pretty accurate. You're just like, whoa, you know. So, yeah, I need – who's the grumpiest coach? Could we have Brian Daboll just being like, I hate my life. I hate the technology hates me. Like, it would be great.
Now you got me thinking.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea, Alex. I need the coach's reaction to you got a fourth down call ready because it's short. It's short of the goal.
I also think that they could move the ball, like have it move like it's moving to the line, and then either it
stops
or it doesn't. Yeah, like, oh, come on. Or it goes just over the line. Yeah. A little more animation in it. Because I told, like, people were like, it takes away, like, the anticipation of this. I said, no, it's just a different anticipation.
Right,
just as long
right.
as you do
right.
the
look,
product
look,
right.
Look, I'm not of that certain age yet. I loved it in the 90s. Like, Pat Summerall was like, we got to take a break. They're bringing out the chain gang. And it would be this 30 seconds of, like, did he spot it right? Okay, he's going to – oh, okay. Are we ready? Okay.
I'm waiting for
back
the
away.
Conspiracy
Back away from
year,
the camera.
Though.
Back away from the camera. Let's extend the ooh.
Nate, you know what's going to happen.
Fourth down.
You know what's going to happen.
Oh, they're going to
when the Chiefs start winning and all of a sudden when everybody goes from they're done to, oh, it's rigged for them, when that, which will be about week three. We'll be about week three of the season. When we get there, then people will try to claim that the digital down marker somehow is, like, hacked into
yes,
by
yeah.
the Kansas City Chiefs or
somebody's
some crap.
Pushing a button in New
yeah.
York. Hey, just move it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just move it a couple inches.
Also, Grumpy's has got to be Sirianni, doesn't it?
Ooh. Especially if they, like...
He's just an a-hole.
Well, true.
Not Grumpy. Grumpy, true. you think like Belichick, like... Mm,
oh,
that's,
it'd be,
well, that
it would be
Grumpy.
Great if Belichick...
Yeah.
Maybe like the new... I'm not saying the new Belichick, but like Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel he's an
already
old school
be,
dude.
Already being a combative mode in early in training camp. I said, Coach, we ain't even played a game yet. Like, chill out. Like, come on, bro. Like, I'm barely paying attention in my own pressers, my own questions. What are we doing? So, yeah.
We can all just take this as practice.
Exactly. Like, that's the beautiful thing about last night. It's like, oh, it doinks off the upright. Perfect.
Loved
there's
it.
There's no better example. Hey, you fumbled on the opening kick.
It did have everything.
It was just like
night.
Perfect. Like, this man hasn't been tackled in God knows how long. Coach, don't cut him. Don't cut him. It's the first kickoff of the first preseason game.
He forgot what it was like.
He didn't know, man.
It looked like Dan Campbell had a linebacker returning kicks for him.
It was incredible.
Last night.
He yeah. just said, you know what? Have fun, son. And then he was like, ah, that's right. These guys it's the NFL. That's right. That's right. Even the twos and threes, you're just like, all right, let's not do that again. Secure the ball.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Appreciate you stopping by as always after
yeah.
practice, man.
Yeah, this was fun. We should do this every 72-degree day.
Yeah. I've been happy to come down today.
God, I got so many thoughts I could actually think.
Well, tomorrow, tomorrow, we're not Dusty and Mac are broadcasting tomorrow.
Okay.
So they will be, I don't know how late, but if you want to stop by, I'm sure they'll gladly have you on the
yeah.
show. Yeah. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also talk a little bit more about what one person said nationally. Around coaching. We were talking about grumpiest coaches. One national commentator is not ready to say Andy Reid is better than this coach. We'll tell you who it is next.